excited. Turn off and get comes out.
Start your day at the Terraway in Northwest London. Friday, 10th of Adar, 3rd of March. Rabbi Gary Bazak, Shlita. The relationship between Parshas Tetzaveh and Purim. This week's Torah is sponsored for the Simchas Mitzvah of Yoni Stimler, whose mitzvah was last Shabbos. He wrote in Shitzko Herov, was Kenova Rav Nachas, and in the Kod Yitzei Chalot Sehem.
Good morning, everyone. So it's interesting, I put a title, The Relationship Between Parshas Tetzaveh and Purim. I've never had so much feedback from a title in my life. It didn't sound that interesting to me, to be honest. But I've had four phone calls. Four people have phoned me up, either joking about it or just asking me. So what is the connection between Tetzaveh and Purim? It's just very interesting. So obviously it is a very interesting subject, but we'll see if we can do it justice. So there is a let's start with Purim. Present a bit of a dichotomy in Purim. And then once we finish the dichotomy in Purim, we'll present the kasha in the parasha, which I think is very leading. It gives us a lot of insight into Purim, and then we'll try and tie the two together. So let's first of all, in terms of the obvious connection between Parashat Tetzaveh and Purim, I'm not going to talk about. That's the obvious one. The obvious one is the Big Day Kahuna, obviously. I mean, Baharosa es Osha Kavod Malkuso, Meshikat Feres Kedulaso, the Gemara says, is the Big Day Kahuna, meaning what was a chelek of what he was trying to do with the party Achashverosh was, he was trying to show, look at me, all the Klal Yisrael are finished, Kelim v'Kelim Shonim, and the Big Day Kahuna. So the fact that the Big Day Kahuna in this week's parasha, and that's of an obvious connection as connected to Simcha, but that's not what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on a slightly more mysterious part of the parasha. But let's start like this. So first of all, Purim is very clearly the climax of the year. Let's start with this. We'll build up this dichotomy in Purim, because I think it's on Purim more than any other day you have this dichotomy, which is we start with Pesach at the beginning of the year. It's very simple. This we know the next Moed is definitely connected, for sure. There's a mahalach, there's a process which goes from Pesach to Shavuos, which is called Sfiras Ayin, and conceptually speaking, that's true as well, because Pesach is Zman Chayrusenu, and Shavuos is Man Matan Torahseinu, but Einacha ben Chayrin ela Misha Osek b'Talmud Torah. So true Chayrus, true ultimate Chayrus, is really Matan Torah. So we move from Pesach to Shavuos. Now that's fine. What we don't realize often is that pattern carries on, because really there's the next kind of stopping point in the calendar for us is Yud Zayin b'Tammuz. But Yud Zayin b'Tammuz should have been a Moed. What was the Moed? The Moed was the Moed of Kabbalos HaLuchos. We were supposed to be Mekabal the Luchos, and that was another Darga in our Kabbalos HaTorah, and that went wrong. The Kabbalos HaLuchos went wrong. Meaning whatever there was at Shavuot stayed, that something we achieved something at Shavuot, that stayed. But then there's 40 days later, now that went wrong, and that only gets fixed when? Yom Kippur. No, well, Yom Kippur, that really only gets fixed, because we only get the Luchos, we only actually Mekabal the Luchos, all the way in Yom Kippur. So really, we've got this process going from Pesach to Shavuos to Yom Kippur. And ultimately, that process really only finishes at Purim, because the Gemara says, Kafalem Harki Gigis, which means there was a Modar Rabbeloi Raisa, which means there was some Chisoran in our Kabbalah Satorah still. So that process of Pesach, which takes us to Shavuos, which is supposed to give us a Kabbalah Satorah, which is supposed to lead to Kabbalah Salukas, which only happens at Yom Kippur, really gets finished at Purim. So if you start that cycle from Pesach, really there's a mahalach going through the entire year, which takes you all the way to Purim. There are other stops on the way, but we're not going to explain them now, because we're coming up to Purim. So Purim is the climax of the year. Right, that's number one. We know, so it's a very significant day, very holy day. It's the ultimate day of Cheirus. It's the ultimate day of Kabbalah Satorah. It's the ultimate day which climaxes the year all the way from Pesach. We know this is one of the most famous Ramazim that exists in the world, that Yom Kippurim, it's interesting, Yom is Kippurim, right? It's an Arizal. All the Chassidus Shasvarim bring it down, but Yom, it's interesting that in the Pashat Pshat and the Torah as well, we call it Yom Kippurim, Yom HaKippurim, the day of, we translate it on, the blue machzor, the Routledge. It used to have the Day of Atonement. It's not, it's really the Day of Atonement, because it's Yom HaKippurim. the Kippurim, which is a strange term. So the Arizal says Yom Kippurim is a day, which means that Purim is the real one. Because this A is like B means that B is the real one, and A is just like it. Not quite. It's Kippurim, not quite Purim, which is very strange. But somehow there's a Kedushas HaYom Purim, which is even greater than Yom Kippur and related to Yom Kippur. We know as well that the Gaon, the Gra points out that there's a missing Suda on Yom Kippur. You should have a Suda on Yom Kippur. When do we have that Suda? We have that Suda, he says, the Hashlama of that Suda is on Purim. Right? So you have the Suda's Yom Tov, you sent to Yom Kippur on Purim. And we can see they're very closely related, Purim and Yom Kippur, the concept of lots. It's not for now, but... So you see that there's a tremendous kedusha to the yom. The Avnei Nezer said, is quoted to have said, that all of the different, there's a different message or a different koyach that each of the moyadim have. So he says that all of the moyadim, all of the ha'aras, all of the kokas, all of the abilities that you could tap into on the moyadim are all in Purim. It's a kli which holds all of them. It's remarkable. Lastly, the Kotzka is quoted to have said, that you can achieve more on a Purim Suda than you can Ilus Yom Kippur in terms of Avodah Hashem. Now, that's stage one. Stage one is, one part of the dichotomy is tremendous Kedusha, tremendous Koyach the day has. But there is another side to this, which is there's no Issa Melacha, and the Derech Hashem, the Ramchal talks about the different, that to the degree of the Kedusha of the Yom, there is an Issa Melacha. So as you move up to Yom Kippur, there's a complete nituk. There's a complete separation from Melacha and from any type of physicality. So here, you have none. Nothing. Maybe a minug. Okay? So you have no Issa Melacha. You have no Halal. You have no Musaf. And, more profoundly, you have no Shem Hashem in the whole Sefer of Tanakh. The whole Sefer of Tanakh without a Shem Hashem in it. It's remarkable. We've heard it so many times that we're kind of used to it. Yeah, there's no Shem Hashem in the Megillah. It's remarkable. There's a whole Sefer in Tanakh which doesn't have God's name once. It's more profound. It's more like shocking if you say it in English. It doesn't mention God once. So it's remarkable. So on the one hand, you've got this Yom, which is Kadosh, climax of the year, Yom Kippur. And on the other hand, you have this, yeah, but it doesn't seem so Kadosh. And our experience of it is, I would have said, more the second one. Our experience, I came to this horror when I was, this is a true story, I was sitting at a Purim Suda, and I was being misbonen about, I was being misbonen about the Kedusha of Purim. I was thinking. And then someone came in, dressed up like a carrot, stumbling because he could barely stand. He proceeded to sing a song which none of us understood because he was slurring his speech, and explained what he was raising money for, which we had to ask a few times because we couldn't hear it. And I thought to myself, I was just thinking of being misbone about the Kedushas HaYom, and there's a carrot in front of me. It was like, whoa, this is very distant. So it could be that we've, and it's not just that. It's not just the Bochrim have got it all wrong. Yeah, let's just be clear on that, yeah? Shlachmanos as well. Yeah, it's very chitzoni, I'm saying, like, the theme, and it ties in with your drug costume, and then we're getting involved in costumes, and we have to plan it beforehand, you have to do the thing with the ribbon, makes it all frilly, you have to, there's a whole, it's very chitzoni, it's very external, it's very exciting and fun and lovely for the ladies and things like that, but it seems very external, the whole thing seems an extremely... Exactly. So it doesn't seem. So let's see. How do these two fit together? These our experience of the Yom as well, being so chitzoni, being so external, being so on the one hand, and the Kedushas HaYom on the other hand, that there is clearly a koyach in Purim that the Svarim are pointing out. Okay. So let's see if we can unlock it a little bit. So there is a fascinating thing about this week's parasha, which is that if you track what's gone on so far, you see something which stands out, which stands out, which shocks you. It's shocking in terms of its. We start off with the general Tzivuya Mishkan, Truma. Basuli Mikdash Shachanti B'Soichem. Oh, very, very useful. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And then we begin to start talking about the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. start talking about the kelim, we start talking about the aron, we start talking about the shulchan, we start talking about the menorah. We finish off with the mizbeach and the choshes, and then we start talking about the external bit of the yerizim and all these type of things. We start talking about the binyan of the mishkan, and then finish last week. This week we start talking about the tzivui of the menorah. What that's doing there, Ayin Sham. But then we're basically, the rest of the parasha is essentially the parasha of Aaron HaKohen. We know that Moshe doesn't appear in the parasha, the Baal HaTurim points out, and it's a parasha which is about Aaron HaKohen. It's about the big day kohana, it's about the chinuch of the Kohen, it's about that we have the parasha Tamid in it, and then we have the Mizbeach HaKetoros. Hold on a second. It sounds like, whoops, we forgot the Mizbeach HaKetoros. The Mizbeach HaKetoros was one of the Pnimi Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. It was one. So we go Kalim Beis HaMikdash, then we talk about the Binyan. I want to point out how far away it is. You have the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash going outwards, then you have the actual Binyan of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan itself, meaning the outside, the walls, the things, the Kroshim. You have all of that. So that's a whole chunk of section. That's a whole chunk of, it's like a column in the Torah, at least column, maybe column and a half. Then you have the big day kahuna, then you have the chinuch hakoyadim, then you have the parashas atamid, and then, oh, we forgot the mizbeach hakatoris. And just in case, and there's a couple of things that make it a little bit more shver, which is, first of all, whenever we talk about the mizbeach hakatoris, there's six other times in Shmos, basically, where we start listing the kalim in order. There's another time, first of all, where we talk about actually building the kelim, Vayakel Pekudei. There we actually talk. So there, the Mizbeach HaKetoros appears, not where it is now, right next to the Aron. Meaning we go, it's in order. It's perfect. The other six times when it lists them as a list, you've got the Aron, the kelim, and it lists that it's in the right order. It's with the kelim. It's not with the Big Day Kahuna. Because it's nothing to do with the Big Day Kahuna. It's got to do with it's a kelim in the Big Dash. So it's astonishing that it stands out. And now, you might have said that there are things in Parashas Ki Sisa, the Kiyor and things like that, which are clearly kind of they're distinct and different part of Kalim. But this is different, because in all of those, we have that general tzivui at the beginning. We have V'asu l'migdash v'shachanti b'socham. And then everything comes. There's no other Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemo make an Aron. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemo make a menorah. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemo make a thing. There's none of that. It's all part of one tzivui. We come to Parshas Ki Sisa, and all of a sudden we have all these Vayidaber Hashems. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemo b'shem Betzalel. Karasi b'shem Betzalel. When it's talking about the Kiyor. When it's talking about the Machas Hashecho, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. When it's talking about making the Besamim, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. When it's talking about making the Kiyor, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. There's clearly separate Diburim. When it comes to the Mizbeach HaKetoros at the end of this week's parasha, nothing. Fasisa Mizbeach HaKetoros, it just carries on. It's a hemshech of everything that's gone on. So it's a bit. So on the one hand, it's at the end and it's different. But on the other hand, it's not as different as those things in Parashas Ki Sisa. And we make that chiluk. We don't put this in Parashas Ki Sisa. Right? Parashas Ki Sisa starts with Matzitz HaShechel. This finishes off Parashas Tetzaveh. So there's Truma Tetzaveh, which are dealing with the Kalim, the Mishkan, the Big Day Kuna, and the Mizbeach. That's kind of one section. And then you have the Ki Sisa afterwards. Interestingly, the Goyim, when they created the chapters, chapter and verse, just to clarify, is a non-Jewish invention. So chapter and verse, not just the words chapter and verse, meaning the actual prokim. In fact, if you look in, it's interesting that if you look in a revolver, net revolver in Alishor, not once quotes prokim and psukim, not once. He says shvi in Tetzaveh or something like that when he's quoting a pasuk. He never ever says what. It's interesting. So here they get it wrong. Because there's lots of cases where they clearly got it wrong. But here, they put a lamed, they put Perek lamed at the beginning of the Mizbeach HaKetoros, and it carries on, and Parashas Ki Sisa starts Pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek lamed. Right? So there clearly is, if you're looking at it in terms of the text, there's an issue here, but we split it clearly. The Mizbeach HaKetoros is with this section, with the Mizbeach. So it's very schwer. What on earth is it doing here? What's even more schwer, and it's interesting, the Achronim point this out, that Chazal don't really point it out openly. They don't ask why is the Mizbeach Ketores here. The Rishonim, Sforno, the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, they're all over it. The Achronim, all over it. But it's another interesting thing. So there's something deep and profound about this Mizbeach Ketores, which is different, which is why is it at the end here? Why does it do it only once? So there's two Mahalchim that I'm going to focus on. One Mahalach is a bit more of a technical Mahalach, but just so that we're in the Shema MS, we need to see that there's different Mahalchim about this. The first Mahalach is the Meshech Chochmah. Meshech Chochmah says the following. He says that built off of Gemara and Svachim, all the other Kalim, if you didn't have them, you didn't have the Shimush of the Kli. Meaning, if you don't have an Oren, you don't have Luchos in the Oren. You don't have Luchos. You don't have an Oren with Luchos. If you don't have the menorah, you can't light candles. If you don't have, put the Ner Tomid there. You can't just like have another candelabra. No, you need a menorah. If you don't have the Mizbeach, you can't be Makdir. You can't be Makriv things. If you don't have the Shulchan, you can't do the Avodah Selechem Aponim. If you don't have the Kli, you can't do the Avodah. There's one exception. The Mizbeach HaKetores. The Mizbeach Ketores, the Gemara says, if you don't have a Mizbeach Ketores, you can be Makdir Bim Koimoy. Be Makdir where it is. So the Kli is less intrinsic. It's still a Kli of the Mishkan. It's still a Kli of the Mishkan, but it's less intrinsic. And therefore it leaves it till the end, because it's less integral. Not in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, you have to have a Mizbeach. But in the Mishkan, you have to have a Mizbeach to be makruf. You can't do it without it. Ketores, you can. So the two issues with the Meshech Chochmah are, one is, it's difficult to understand them, but we don't really ask why on Psukim and why on Dinim like this. But what is the mashmas of that? Just all of a sudden, Ketores is different. Why is Ketores different? Question number one. Question number two, though, is you could achieve that. The Torah could achieve that by putting it at the end of the, by doing Kalim, Mishkan, and then sticking them as Mizbeach Ketores. Why does it wait till after the Kohen? The Kohen is the person who serves in the Mishkan. So why does it wait till Kohen, Menorah, Kohen, Big Day Kohana, Chinuch of the Kohanim, Tamid, and then comes along the Mizbeach HaKetores? It doesn't fully answer the question. It answers the question, it doesn't fully answer the question. We need a bit more Havana in that. There's an Arichas in the Meshech Chochmah, not for here, not for now. The answer that I wanted to focus on is the answer of Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok explores something which is very fundamental, very, very deep, and it connects back to Purim. And seeing as the interesting title of the Shir was the connection between Tetzaveh and Purim, we're going to do that. So he says the following. He says that there are the purpose of the Kohen. This is the parasha of the Kohen. The purpose of the Kohen was to be mesakein the ra in the bria, to provide for avodah, be mesakein the ra in the bria. He says there are ten types of ra in the bria. He says the first eight. Now, I'm saying things that I'm not really connected to just here, just so I'm, but we can take a Yisod Lefiyer Kainu, at least that. So he says, the first eight of those are Niskan by the Big Day HaKohen. The Big Day Kohuna, the Big Day Kohen Gadol, are Masaking the first eight Halakim of Ra in the Bria. The ninth element is Niskan Al Yidei, the Avoida of the Guf of the Kohen himself. So then we have the Chinuch of the Kohen. He's now able to be Ovid, and his guf, his actual avoda, can be mesakein for that ninth element of ra in the bria. There's a tenth element, which is niskan al yidei the keser kohuna. And the Gemara says the keser kohuna is the zer, which is around the Mizbeach HaZahav. The zer, the crown, which is around the golden Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKetores, that keser is mesakein for, he calls it, the Shoresh Hane'elam of Ra in the Bria. And that is Masaking that element. Why? This is the next stage we need. Because Rav Tzadok says, because the Mizbeach HaKetores was the source of the Avodas HaReach in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's something about Reach, there's something about the Avoda which is involved with Reach, which is able to be Masaking that Shoresh Hane'elam, that hidden
source of Ra in the Bria, that tenth element, that complete destruction of Ra, that complete destruction of evil in the Bria, that is Niskan Alidei, this Koyach of the Ketores, of the ability to tap into Reach. Okay. Let's just first, let's take one more step, and then we'll try and understand it a little bit. Lefi Hakein. The next step is that's very closely related to Purim. There's at least five Ramazim that Purim has got something to do with smell. At least five that I know of. Firstly, you have Maradachia. Yeah, the Gemara says, Mordechai min ha-Torah min ha-in. It brings a makar from Mar Deror, which is in the Besamim, but is also, it's a bit of a machlokas Roshonim about whether the Besamim Rosh, whether the Mar Deror is in the Ketores as well. Most Roshonim say it is in the Ketores as well. It's talking about the Besamim that are in the Ketores, and Mar Deror is in the Ketores as well. And he says, and the Gemara says, the Targum of Mar Deror is Mara Dachya, Meria Dachya. So, you have Mordechai min ha-Torah is in Ketores, or Besamim at least. One. Esther. What's Esther? What's Esther's real name? Hadassah. Right? What is Hadassah? Hadassah is the koyach of a hadass, is it has smell, it doesn't have taste. Smell. Two. Three is the Ma'ar of Shemesh, there are others as well, plenty of people point this out, that the gematria of Haman is Chelbana. Chelbana is the bad smelling spice which is in the Ketores. Okay, so we've got three so far. The Arizal, quoted in the Bnei Saschar, I'm just telling you it's in the Bnei Saschar because I wouldn't know where to find the Arizal otherwise. That's how disconnected I am from it. I wouldn't even know where to find it. But Bnei Saschar says that each of the months are parallel to a different Ava. The Ava of the month of Adar is the nose, the Af. Right? So you see, now what's the function of the nose? One of the main functions of the nose is smell. The last one is, you're supposed to get drunk on Purim, right? How does the Gemara say you're supposed to get drunk on Purim? Chayev inish levesume. Strange term. Bisum. Right? Is loshem besomim. Right? So there's ramozim. Ramozim. There's a concept called smell on Purim. There's a concept, some sort of avoda of smell on Purim. So what? Let's try and understand in the brief time that we've got left. Let's try and understand what that yisoid is. So we've got again the mizbeach haketores is the ability to be masakin the shoresh hane'elam of ra in the bria, and that is we point it out right at the end of the parasha. It comes at the end. It's slightly different. The other things are being mashra the shechina. This one is fixing something which is hidden, which you can't see. This is that's the purpose of the kohen. That's the purpose of the big day kohen. That's the mizbeach haketores, the rutadok. Purim is also related to that avodas haketores somehow. Clearly, that avodas of reyach is somehow related to Purim. What is it? So I think it works like this. I think we can understand it like this. The Bnei Sas, we'll start, there's different ways into this, but the Bnei Sas says that it's very interesting, there's only one chush, there's only one sense that wasn't involved in Chet Adam Arishon. Right? The taste was involved, seeing was involved, hearing was involved, touch was involved, everything was involved. The only thing that wasn't was Reach. Reach wasn't involved. It doesn't say anywhere, it doesn't. So he says that there's still Ipan.
That's why
you make a flulam, isn't it? Oh, that's what we'll talk about that in a second if we get time. But there's this koyach of Reach which can attach you back to the neshama, which is untainted by chet. Now let's try and understand what this is. You have to understand. We say it every day, but we're not samlev. Imagine a guy who goes completely wild one day. I think I mentioned it here before, but it's worth understanding. It's worth doing chazara on this every morning. We do it every morning. So imagine you go completely wild. Yeah, the guy goes, you can't imagine. Averas, can't imagine. He wakes up in the morning, he starts off, he walks outside, sees his neighbor's cat, kicks the neighbor's cat across the road, Sar Baruch Chaim, starts with that. Then, but you can't imagine, he goes on a spiral, ruchnius-wise, down. Whoa. Messes up, completely destroys himself. Completely. You can't imagine. A day, you can't imagine. Anything you can imagine, worse. And then he comes back 3 o'clock in the morning after having all types of things in the night, and he comes back home, he collapses on the couch. At 6:30 in the morning, his wife wakes him up. No, I'm just trying to find a name. David, get up. Sure. Yeah, she doesn't know what's happened in the day. She was worried about him. She was calling him. She didn't know what was going on. But David, get up. And sometimes when we get knocked into, sometimes when you get woken up suddenly, you're able to, you kind of bypass the Yetzer Hara and you don't, And you're all right, you're sharp, quick up and running. And he went to shul. He gets to shul and he says, Elokai, neshama shenasata bi tahirihi. The neshama you've given me is tahar. Excuse me? No. It was tahar until you got involved. Right? It was perfectly tahar. You had a very nice neshama. It was very tahar. Then you messed up completely. And when the tummy, you completely. You destroyed yourself. All the avodas you did to them. You're going to ignore them. With others. Elokai, neshama shenasata bi tahirihi. And the answer is, yes. Neshama, your nefesh, your ruach, they're in big trouble. Right? You've done serious damage there. But there's a koyach in a person, which is your neshama. Your neshama is untainted by your decisions, by your chataim, it's that place which is ritzoneinu la'asos, ritzoneinu avinu shebashamayim. Elamas, arshav isa, shibud malchiyos. There's things that stop us. But our essence, our deepest root is our neshama, and our deepest root is tahor. Is connected, is the avoda that taps into that neshama shenasata bi tahirihi, the avoda that does that is reyach. The Gemara says that it says why do we say baruch shem kavod malchuso lo naved quietly? So it says because it gives a moshul to bas melech who smells the tipe kedera. She smells there's something in the kedera which is good. She can't. It's pasnish to eat it because she doesn't want to not eat it because there's good things here. She smells it to make a date. She wants to have it. So they bring it to her b'chashai. That's Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus. We say it quietly. What does it mean? It means that there's certain things that when you look at them on the chitzonius, you can't see any good. You can't eat them. You can't. It's completely nistar in them. It has to be b'chashai. You have to do it hidden. That the way you sense it, the way you feel it, the avoda through which you feel it, is the avoda of reyach, is the avoda of katoris. It can unlock the hidden parts which are in even the most evil things. What is the katoris? The katoris has chelbon in it, has amalek in it, has hamon in it. But you mix it together, these 11 things, you mix these 11 things together, and you're able to have a reyach which goes up to Ribon Shalom. You're able to be mevasim it. You're able to find, even in the Shorish, even in Ra itself, you're able to find some element of Tov. You're able to integrate it. You're able to find those hidden parts of ourselves. That is why, that is the dichotomy of Purim. The dichotomy of Purim is that on the one hand, in the Chitzonius, you look at this and you think it's Lahavdil, more than Elif. It looks like a New Year's party. It looks like a Goyish. What's going on? What are they doing? Carnival, mother. On the outside, it looks like the guy getting drunk, slurring his... It looks completely chitzoni. But the avodah of Purim is because even when you have all that chitzonius, you have to understand, the neshama shenasata bi tahirihi, there's a root inside it, there's something inside it that you can find. That guy who was strolling in with the carrot, that to my carrot man, dressed up like a carrot, he was slurring his... What was he doing? He was raising money for someone else. You have to hear that with your nose. I don't know how you hear with your nose. But you have to hear it with your nose. That's what you have to smell on Purim. You have to smell that, whoa, that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, when I tell people about the fact that my son goes round, and it's hard nowadays because there's a word that we use called getting hit. How many times did you get hit this weekend with the campaigns? You know, you got hit. Terrible word. It was a hit. You mean they gave you the schus to give? That's what we mean. You mean you've got... So we get hit. Why? Because on Purim, at least, call our poshet yad, right? When I tell people how much my son raises on Purim, they're just astounded. And I said, that's my son. What about everyone else? It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So you have this external core, which the external, and we can, it almost looks like we're goyish, chas v'shalom. But the core of it, the middle of it, the essence of it, the tachlis of it, the purpose, the essence of it is neshama shel nasata b'tahorim. That is the avodah sareach on Purim. It's a very challenging avodah, but it's an avodah that we can connect to. When you give a shlach manos, you connect to that reach. You try and just be some left for 2 minutes beforehand. Instead of, he gave me quickly, we got to give them, quickly run it down to the instead of doing all of that stuff, just think, oh, it's a yid. Ah, oh, kabaldi. You give him a shlach manos with reyes, with a smile, with a, someone who needs it, you give them a shlach. Matanas Le'avionim, you give with that neshama. Sulas Purim, you connect it with Torah, with the essence of it. That avodah sareach is the avodah of Purim, and that answers the dichotomy, because it's, on the one hand, it's completely external. It has ra in it. It looks like it has ra in it. But at the same time, the core of it, the essence of it, is that neshama shenasata b'tahorihi, and that is the relationship between Parashat Tzaveh, which has the Parashat Ketoresh, which is Mesakein, the Shoresh Hane'elam of Ra, in the Bria, and the Avodah of Purim, where we're able to tap into that koyach, and able to go beyond the Kitzonius and into the Panimius of the Bria.
Very good. Shkaya. Shkaya. Shkaya.